You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to my favorite month of the year, October. It doesn't get any better than this, and I was enjoying a beautiful fall day down here in the South. My wife and I, along with our two children, our seven-year-old daughter, our soon-to-be three-year-old son, we went out to a pumpkin patch today, and we took some pictures. I actually put a picture of my kids up that we took this afternoon at our Twitter feed, at James Edwards TPC, if you want to see how the Edwards family spent their Saturday afternoon before I came into work tonight. It's up there for you. Just a wonderful time of year, very festive time of year, very fun, with Halloween coming up, which was, of course, originally a Christian holiday, and then into Thanksgiving and Christmas, and it's just a magical, wonderful time, great weather. It's just, I couldn't be happier tonight, as it is Saturday, October 7th, 2016. James Edwards and Keith Alexander, this is the Political Cesspool. Thank you for being with us. And Keith, as you know, we just wrapped up last week our third quarter fundraising drive. We had the man of the hour, or the man of the month, I guess it was, Andrew Fraser, author of the book Dissident Dispatches, An Alt-Right Guide to Christian Theology. He was on the show last week to round out the fundraising quarter, and we had a good return on the quarter. And I want to thank everybody who contributed. Everybody who contributed will be receiving that book this month if they contributed $100 or more, so that'll be coming your way here in the next couple of days. Thanks to everybody who's contributed since the last show, including Bill up in East Islip, New York. And Bill is a regular contributor, and I don't think I've ever pronounced his city correctly. So when he sent in his most recent contribution, he gave me a pronunciation key how to do it. And anyway, Bill writes, I've been listening to your program every week since 2008 and consider you all to be my friends and compatriots. Well, we consider you that as well, Bill. Thank you, he writes, for continuing to fight for our people despite the attacks on you by the evil mainstream media. It infuriates me when you are misrepresented and attacked by these, since you are all the nicest and most decent people on the airwaves today. Just look at how they've misrepresented and lied about the events at Charlottesville. I am proud to support your program and other white patriot organizations. Also, please thank your lovely wife for the touching letter I received from her as a supporter of the program. By the way, the town I live in, East Islip, like I slip on the ice, I have heard you mention another supporter from Great River, New York, which is the next town over from mine. Nice to know that you have other supporters in my area. Stay strong, my friends, and please continue your vital work, knowing that there are people from all over the country who appreciate and support you. Well, Keith, one of our Yankee listeners, Bill, it just goes to show they're not all bad. And in all seriousness, now we have a lot of listeners from outside of the South, and we love you just like our blood kin. And thank you, Brother Bill, for that. Of course, now Keith went into the mailbag today, and we're going to get down to business here very quickly. But just want to do a quick shout out. You know, we put the pressure on because we need the funds to come into the storehouse. This is harvest season, after all. And we need to get that in so we can stay on the air. The quarterly fundraisers sustain us. Keith had some fan mail today. Now, we can't read all of that one, Keith, because that was an epic. But all of Keith's fan mail today were handwritten letters from females. I mean, what's that about? Keith, do you like getting the correspondence from the ladies more than the gentlemen? Or
look, I like all sorts of fans, believe me. It's wonderful to hear from the fans. There is the lady that wrote it, her initials are CC. I didn't get the envelope, so I don't know where she is from.
She's from Texas.
Texas.
Young lady from Texas.
Well, let me tell you, CC, that the book I would recommend that you read to determine what has happened to Christianity, and there is no denomination that has escaped the long march through the institutions, not even the Reformed Episcopal Church that I belong to and you belong to as well. But I would recommend a book called The Empty Church by Thomas Reeves, if you're listening now. The Empty Church, Thomas Reeves. that book basically set me on the intellectual pilgrimage that has landed me where I am today. I started reading it in the early 90s, and it basically takes mainline Protestantism from the French Enlightenment up through the present day and tells you all the big events, all the counter movements, how we got to this state of affairs that we're in now that both you and I bemoan so. We are, as I've said, they've exchanged the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John for the Gospels of Peter, Paul, and Mary. Basically, their true religion is liberalism with a thin veneer of Christianity, and it's cultural Marxism. That's how they take over institutions, your church, my church, and now, much to his horror, James's and Eddie's beloved Southern Baptist denomination is falling prey to the same forces that got the Episcopalian.
It's fallen, but good, to say the least. Well, and that was a long-time listener, first time. You know, it's always rewarding, and we shared a couple of these letters last week from people who've listened for years but are writing for the first time. And we know there's so many people out there that tune in for inspiration, encouragement, just like Catherine from Texas, who writes also, "Dear Mr. Edwards, I listen, and it's always a relief to hear someone who has not lost his mind. These are dark times, and I appreciate your upbeat attitude." We have a lot to be upbeat about, and our audience gives us the strength and endurance to carry on, and hopefully we can reciprocate that through the airwaves and help to lift your spirits. A rising tide lifts all ships. Last thing before we get down to work tonight, and I wanted to be sure at the very top of the first episode of the program after the close of a quarterly fundraising drive, fourth quarter fundraising drive will come up in December, but after we run these things, I want to be sure that I thank everyone who did it. And we got this, Keith, from a listener across the pond. Listen to this, another listener writing for the first time. "Dear sir, I've been listening to your radio show for some time now and just contributed to your program $75 for what it's worth, and it's worth a lot. Thank you, sir. I just wanted to make sure that you are aware that you have reached the shores of Scotland with your funny and informative radio show." And this writer continues to share with me some of the history of Scotland, some of the history of his Christian warrior ancestors from Scotland, and I really enjoyed that read. And he reminds me, of course, as we know, as Southerners, we have no doubt Scottish blood running through our veins. But he closes with, "Please keep up the good work and don't forget the men who went before us to give us everything that we have now. Even though we're in decline, what we have left was bought by our forefathers who are forgotten by many, but not by us. May Christ be glorified." And that comes from Jason in Glasgow, Scotland. And Jason, what you wrote is exactly why we do what we do, to honor the people who paid a much greater price than we've paid.
Well, Jason, if you're listening, let me ask you to do two things. After World War II, in order to get access to the English movie market, U.S. movie makers had to film a certain number of movies in England or in the British Isles. And most of them did this grudgingly. The one who did not do it grudgingly but embraced it was Walt Disney. He has two wonderful movies set in Scotland. One was Kidnapped with James MacArthur. Another good movie would be based on the Robert Louis Stevenson short story, The Body Snatcher. It's Body Snatcher 1945, starring Boris Karloff and Bela Lugosi.
All right.
I recommend them both to you.
Listen, we're getting out of the mailbag, and we're getting to work. At the top of the next segment, we're going to tell you what's coming your way tonight on TPC. Don't go anywhere.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com. and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way. But actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, here's what's coming up on TPC tonight. Without further ado, obviously, Las Vegas is in the news, and we all know why. So we're going to share our take on that with all hands on deck. In the second hour, you're going to hear from TPC contributors Sean Bergen, Jim Lancia. We love going to our 1-2 punch of having a former television newsman to cover the media angle on any hot button topic that warrants TPC's attention. And of course, having a retired police officer as a contributor to this program who can look at things from the perspective of law enforcement. So that they make a great complement to our staff here. So you're going to hear from Sean Bergen and Jim Lancia in the second hour on Las Vegas. Also, of course, yours truly and Keith will opine on the situation, as will Eddie the Bombardier Miller and Sam Bushman, owner of Liberty News Radio Network, who has been, of course, talking about it on his show Liberty Roundtable Live this week during the Monday through Friday shifts that he anchors. So you're going to have a wide variety of perspectives on Las Vegas. And I don't want to get to Las Vegas first, because once we get into Vegas, we're going to stay there the rest of the night. What we're going to do first is honor a man worthy of his holiday, a man who earned his holiday, Christopher Columbus. Monday is Columbus Day, and we are going to talk about Christopher Columbus for the majority of this hour. There is an incredible piece that we run each year that was written by a fellow named Blowtorch Mason, who is a longtime fan of this program, who writes articles occasionally, but exclusively for the
like
political.
Like Haley's Comet every 75 years.
Blowtorch. He did an article earlier this summer. But when he does write, he writes exclusively for thepoliticalcesspool.org, and he wrote a great piece on Columbus Day that we will run again on Monday, which is Columbus Day. So Columbus Day is the primary focal point of the first hour. This being, as we broadcast live tonight, we're 2 days shy of Columbus Day. Keith, break down the piece by Blowtorch Mason. Why are we honoring Christopher Columbus? Why do we respect Christopher Columbus? I'll tell you very quickly my take on it. Christopher Columbus represents the indomitable spirit of the European people as well as anybody in our history. I mean, you talk about a man who very much personifies that thirst to scale the next summit and explore beyond the next horizon. That is a predominantly Western trait, a trait that the men of the West have exhibited more than any other. Christopher Columbus, sure, somebody else eventually would have landed in what we call the New World, but he was the first one who did it. He was the first one who did it and made, you know, and that led to the lasting presence.
Okay.
So now, go, take it away.
Okay. Now, people can argue about what personal traits Christopher Columbus had that are either worthy of adulation or not. But in terms of just cold, hard facts, what Christopher Columbus did was he discovered, for all intents and purposes, the New World of the Americas, the Western Hemisphere, and made the European presence in the Western Hemisphere permanent. Leif Erikson supposedly came here first. There may have been other Vikings.
The Salutrians, but we're talking about people who made a presence that lasted.
Yeah, the thing is, but they came and disappeared. But on the other hand, Christopher Columbus was the first of a long line of Europeans that basically settled the Western Hemisphere and allowed Western culture to spread all over the world. And if you really want to, you know, delve deep into this subject, basically the white race not only transformed the Western Hemisphere, it transformed the entire world. The entire world was brought out of the Dark Ages by European man, white people. For example, we're now dealing with Muslims who have a Dark Ages approach to life. They want to maintain women being veiled, women that have no rights, they can't even drive cars until I understand just within the past week there's a movement taking foot where women in Saudi Arabia can drive cars. That's just a indication of how white people have affected the world. Now, what has happened since then is that Jews have taken over positions, strategic positions of power and influence in our societies and are driving us onto the, you know, the reef, basically, and destroying Western civilization to the extent that they can. But Western civilization has been a boon to America, and it's altogether proper and appropriate to celebrate it. Now, non-whites, particularly blacks in America, complain that they are an oppressed minority and that they are treated unfairly and they are the victims of racial discrimination. But they are the only poor people in the entire world that routinely live in centrally air-conditioned and heated homes.
And this is something that this is a point that's brought up in the Columbus Day article by Blowtorch Mason.
Right. They have iPads, they have computers, they drive their own cars, they live in homes that have driveways, carports or garages, and front and back lawns. But they have been whipped into an inconsolable frenzy by the left, which is basically Jewish power and influence in America, into thinking that they are deprived. One thing they obviously have not done is traveled abroad very much so they could compare their supposed poverty with the real poverty that exists in places like El Salvador or Cambodia or Birmingham or Indonesia or Angola or, you know, most all of sub-Saharan Africa, all over the world.
Do you think that they should be thankful to Columbus? Because had he not come here, they certainly wouldn't have been imported to Europe.
Well, absolutely. In fact, the most fortunate day, first of all, let's talk about black people. The most fortunate black people in the world are the black people whose ancestors were kidnapped by slave traders and brought to North America, because there is no other way that they would have shared in the blessings of a first world civilization, which they do, as we were pointing out with all the consumables.
And of course, this, what you just said, was a sentiment that was echoed by a black writer for the Jamaican Observer, that when we repeated his or said that we agreed with him last year, that caused a lot of trouble for Donald Trump vis-a-vis his association, tenuous as it was with this radio program. But it's a fact.
There was no NBA or NFL back then. There have been no other occasion to bring black people to America had it not been for slavery. Slavery disappeared without conflict or combat every place except the United States by 1900, at least in the Western Hemisphere. And as a result, black people are here and they're sharing in a first world environment. Black people in Africa feel that these American black tourists that come to the former slave trading outposts to view this sad history, they shake their heads at them. They say they're the lucky ones. They wish that their parents or grandparents or ancestors had been captured and brought to America so they could be as wealthy as the black people that are coming to Africa for tourism purposes are. So, you know, it's time for people to wake up and smell the coffee. And, you know, this idea that somehow black people are owed reparations, they are the luckiest black people in the world, and it's time for them to recognize that. I don't see any of them offering to go back to Africa. Sean Hannity has said that people that voted against Trump could get a one-way ticket from him to go to Canada. Well, what about these black people that say that they are so badly treated? How about a one-way ticket back to sub-Saharan Africa? I don't think we find any takers for that either, James.
All right, Keith, you are talking, of course, about the after effects of Columbus's voyages and how it benefited all of humanity, black and white, and everyone else who has the privilege of living in a Western nation. We're going to go back in the next segment to the time of Columbus, life as it was when Columbus was alive, and the daunting voyage that he undertook. Here, 2 days shy of Columbus Day, we're celebrating the man himself on TPC. Stay tuned.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With Liberty News this hour, I'm Dennis Daly. It may take a very long time to get into the mind of Stephen Paddock, the man who unleashed that hail of gunfire on innocent people recently in Las Vegas. It still is not clear why he did it. Police had hoped to be helped by information provided by his girlfriend, who voluntarily came back from the Philippines, where she had been sent by the boyfriend prior to the rampage. A six-hour interview with the FBI and her attorney reporting she claims to have no information about what was going on. We do know the man has been a gun collector for years. Less than 48 hours after that madman opened fire in Vegas, there was a demonstration in St. Louis. During the massacre in Vegas, police, many of them without any special gear, rushed into the area. Other officers used their bodies to shield civilians. After this, one would think that the demonstration in St. Louis was a memorial for the victims. It wasn't. It was members of the group Black Lives Matter and others demonstrating their hatred of police, while others mourned what had happened. You're listening to LibertyNewsDaily.com.
For commentary and insights on a troubled world delivered to your inbox weekly, think Joel Skousen's weekly internet news analysis service. Subscribe today to this one-of-a-kind news source, worldaffairsbrief.com.
10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15.
Who taught you skip stones?
My dad.
Family. Isn't it about time?
He must be good.
Yeah, my mom taught him.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
With Liberty News, I'm Dennis Daly.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com, your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Okay, we are talking about Columbus Day. Now, Keith was talking about some of the after effects of Columbus's voyage, things that really directly and indirectly occurred as a result of his gallantry, of his bravery, of his...
And it brought a great blessing to the Western Hemisphere. As Blowtorch said in his article, white people are like the swallows that return to Capistrano every year. We're the harbingers of good times, of prosperity, of growth. That's what's happened to the Western Hemisphere because of Christopher Columbus and the advent of the white race in the New World of the Americas. And furthermore, one thing that Blowtorch does say is that the most fortunate day in the ancestral history of any American of whatever race, white, black, oriental, whatever, is the day when one of his ancestors set foot aboard a conveyance headed for North America. It doesn't matter whether the conveyance was the Concorde, the fanciest airliner in the world until it was discontinued, or a luxury ocean liner, or a leaky slave ship. Basically, whatever got them here, they are in a better way here, and their descendants are better off than they would have been being in the old world. Even the white people that came over here, they were not from the top dresser drawer of European society, and what our prosperity attests to is the inherent talent of those people. You get the
just people, like Australia.
Yeah, I know. Australia, they scoured out the bottom of the jails, got these absolute scum of the earth, supposedly, from England, Scotland, Ireland, brought them to Australia. And what did they do? When given opportunity and plenty of land, they turned it into a garden spot, just like
look at Sydney,
white people.
Australia. World class doesn't even cover it. Yeah,
and
you're talking
America,
about
the
dregs of
thing
society,
here.
Right?
You know, the lords and ladies weren't coming over here for the most part. It was almost always people from the lower orders of society looking
outcast,
for a new life and
outliers.
A new opportunity, and they had so much talent, so much native intelligence that they just basically turned America into the envy of the world.
Outcast and outliers, and look at what we did with it. I was going to read an excerpt from another inspirational piece on the life of Columbus. We'll save that for the next segment. Let's wrap up our coverage of the Blowtorch Mason article, which you can read for yourself. It'll be posted on Monday on Columbus Day at thepoliticalcesspool.org. I just want to read a couple of paragraphs, lift a couple from his piece. Columbus Day has suffered a decrease in importance in recent years, at least in the eyes of the salons of modern American culture. Why? Columbus Day celebrates Christopher Columbus, the first European white person to come to the Western Hemisphere and make the presence permanent. Columbus Day, in other words, celebrates the advent of the white race in the so-called New World of the Americas. This is, of course, the last thing that the multicultural left wants to have celebrated. Their guiding principle, invented both by Trotsky and the cultural Marxists at approximately the same time, is best summed up by the late unlamented Susan Sontag's famous quote, "The white race is the cancer of human history." Who wants to celebrate cancer? Consequently, Columbus Day has been transformed from a holiday into an occasion for weeping, wailing, rending of garments, and gnashing of teeth by the left. We here at the Political Cesspool, however, beg to differ and think it's high time to challenge the modern orthodoxy regarding Columbus and Columbus Day. Consider, if you will, the Western Hemisphere when Columbus discovered it in 1492. The entire continent is estimated to have sustained only a few hundred thousand people. It was a huge, undeveloped wildlife preserve. Its population stuck, for the most part, in the New Stone Age. And despite what the left would have you believe, it was not populated by peace-loving early environmentalists. The indigenous inhabitants were bloodthirsty savages living in a state of nature in which life, as Hobbes famously noted, was nasty, brutish, and short. The highest level of civilization achieved in the hemisphere by the indigenous was that of the Aztecs, most famous for capturing young men from neighboring tribes for ritual sacrifice and ripping their still-beating hearts from their chests. Today, more than ever, we all need to ponder the significance of Columbus and Columbus Day and impress its importance upon our friends, neighbors, and children. Columbus Day should rank truly as one of the most important and celebrated holidays of the year rather than a national day of mourning. Men like Columbus didn't endure sufferings, privations, danger, and even death so we could, like Esau, trade our inheritance for a mess of liberal multicultural pottage. You can read the entire article on Monday. What is he saying there, Keith?
Well, it's important to compare the level of civilization which the white population brought to the Western Hemisphere with the level of civilization of the indigenous Indian population. As Blowtorch says, the highest level of civilization in the New World when Europeans first came here was the Aztec civilization, and they hadn't even discovered the wheel yet. Just as in sub-Saharan Africa, despite having the most fertile soil, the most mineral wealth, the longest growing season, they hadn't even developed the way to put a sail on a boat to help propel it across the water. Furthermore, they hadn't discovered a way to build a multi-story building. And all of these people were stuck, as Blowtorch says, in the New Stone Age throughout almost all of the world. Everywhere except for Europe.
And guess what, Keith?
Arab civilization was somewhat advanced, and some argue more advanced than European civilization in, let's say, about the year 1000, but they haven't advanced since then.
See, there was a time.
Modern life is basically the product of white people.
Well, there was a time when progress met technological advancement. That's what it meant. Now progress means degeneracy or increasing degeneracy. But you want to know what the world looked like? You know, it's amazing. We're talking about what the world looked like in 1492. Here we are in the current year, 2017. There are still uncontacted tribes. You know that. In the Amazon, there are uncontacted tribes in areas of
New Guinea.
And they still live as the primitives would have lived at first contact with the Europeans. So you're talking about from 1492 on through the exploration of North America in the 15 and 16 and 1700s, and they haven't advanced at all. And in 2017, they are still living as they did 500 years ago when Columbus made contact.
Well, you know, this is an interesting aside, but the natives in New Guinea that had not before encountered first world civilization encountered it, many of them, for the first time during World War II. And they were so impressed with the goodies that they got from both the Americans and the Japanese in occupying their island that when they left, so did all of these goodies. So they started what they called cargo cults. They would make out of bamboo and straw replicas of airplanes and buildings and whatnot that they had been built by the Americans and by the Japanese, and they thought that the gods would revisit them and drop off all the goodies that they had enjoyed for that brief interlude during World War II.
Let me say this about that. I'm not ashamed that our people won. All throughout history, history is a contest, a struggle for land, for resources. I mean, there would be nobody mourning Europeans if the Arabs and the Muslims had wiped us out, had it not been for the Christian kings of Europe who united under the cross to repel the Muslims at Vienna and at other times throughout the history of Europe. You know, white people wouldn't be here. I'm not ashamed that we won. But for the people who get hung up on the whole, we took the lands from the Indian canard. How about this? Now, we're constantly attacked for, quote unquote, taking America from the Indians and daring to build a civilization here. But what you need to remember is that the Indians conquered each other for territory before we ever even arrived. And what we did We only did what humans had been doing for millennia all over the world, of all races and all tribes. You can reinforce that position by contrasting what the white Christians did with what Indians did when they conquered each other's tribes. There's no mound builders left because the Cherokees and Creeks exterminated them. The Indians didn't create reservations or casinos for conquered people to enable them to survive and maintain their languages and
religions
and so on.
Killed them all, or else killed the men and had sex with the women.
Right. Only white Christians gave them a chance to survive at all. And since the Indian tribes in existence conquered and exterminated some other people, if we are to blame people like our ancestors for conquering the Indians, then the clock shouldn't start when we arrived, but it should start earlier on. And if that is done, then the racist, genocidal, xenophobic Cherokee got what they deserved. Now, we read that from time to time. That's a great line. But it's true. Why are we to blame for conquering? They did the exact same to each other. It's not like they lived in perfect harmony. There was hundreds of tribes, and they were always quarreling.
Well, not only that, it touches on these white guilt for slavery issue that is constantly thrown up in our face. Every person that lives in the world today had an ancestor that was enslaved at one point or another in history. St. Augustine was moved to evangelize the British Isles by the piteous spectacle of blonde-haired, blue-eyed English children being sold as slaves in the slave market in Rome, for example. We'll have more on this after these words from our sponsors.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled.
We won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
In a beer commercial, everyone's happy and they're jumping around and or whatever.
The thing is they not only have appealing activities, they have appealing people out there too. You know, you see beer commercials and it's done with natural water and it's cold brewed or heat pasteurized and all that kind of stuff. They make it sound more like a health food almost, but they never show the hangovers or alcoholism or anything like that.
And then in reality, you're happy and then you're vomiting in the bathroom and then you're waking up sick the next morning with a really bad headache.
Any person that says that beer is merely for recreational use is stupid because it's a form of alcohol.
They just want your money. It's the people that sell the product that are getting the most out of it, not the people that use it.
That's exactly what they're doing. They're all sell our beer and it doesn't matter what it takes, just sell it.
No, they're not honest messages. They don't show the flip side of it, the results of alcohol.
A public service message from The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-7777. 6397.
Okay, everybody, we're going to let this serve as a capstone on our celebration of Christopher Columbus, and I'm going to read a piece. It's going to take a few minutes, and I'm going to bring Keith in. But it really sort of encapsulates as succinctly as we can in commercial radio why we should remember Christopher Columbus. And again, take the time to remember Christopher Columbus on Monday. I watched the movie 1492 with Gerard Depardieu and Sigourney Weaver. And we watched that, actually, my whole family watched that just a few weeks ago. My daughter was learning about Christopher Columbus, and so we watched that movie. And even though that movie came out in 1992, which was the 500th anniversary of the voyage, it is actually fairly well done in terms of being pro-Columbus and not what you would expect out of Hollywood in this day and age, 25 years later. Columbus deserves his holiday. Contrary to what we've been told, Europeans in 1492 did realize that the world was round, but the Atlantic Ocean was thought to extend for over 12,000 miles, so no attempt to sail it was attempted. The spice trade to the Orient was the main motivation to find new routes to the Far East. The Ottoman Turks conquered Constantinople in 1453, and the easy overland routes to the east were blocked. The Portuguese found a sea route to the east going around Africa. It was at this time that Columbus convinced the Spanish to try to find a direct sea route to Asia by going west. After a voyage of more than 2 months, Columbus landed on San Salvador Island in the Bahamas on October 12, 1492. Columbus estimated that Japan was 2,400 miles away instead of 12,200 miles, and instead of finding a new route for the spice trade to the east, Columbus discovered a whole new world rich with gold and tobacco. Of the world's four largest food crops, rice, wheat, corn, and potato, the last two, corn and potato, came from the new world. The Spanish sent out an expedition to circle the entire world in 1519 under Ferdinand Magellan, completing what Columbus had originally set out to do, reaching the Orient by sailing west. The voyage by Columbus established that ships of the time could sail thousands of miles across an open ocean. On his second voyage, Columbus brought sugarcane plants to the Caribbean, which started a highly profitable sugar trade. Columbus proved that there was a place where ships could resupply on a westward journey between Europe and Japan. The discovery of the New World led to the construction of bigger, better ships that could more easily sail across the ocean and carry out trade over thousands of miles. In recent decades, of course, whiny liberals have done their best to try to demonize Columbus and white people in general. They cite the early slave trade, forgetting that slavery had existed for thousands of years, practiced by all races, and that it was Europeans who would eventually outlaw slavery, benefiting every land under European control. Liberals and their media give virtually no credit to the Spanish for bringing Christianity to the New World. Every place the Spaniards went, they stopped human sacrifices, cannibalism, and other brutal practices of the natives. Apparently, liberals consider this to be a negative. The self-righteous liberals only seem to value things like gay sex and smoking pot. Saving someone's soul apparently doesn't count as the most important accomplishment that could ever be done in the liberal worldview. Columbus left 39 men behind at Fort Christmas, the founding settlement of La Navidad in Hispaniola, present-day Haiti. The Indians there slaughtered all of them. Now, just about every liberal-made TV documentary assumes that the 39 Spanish men left behind were mistreating the Indians. But if you were heavily outnumbered and left behind, would you risk antagonizing the Indians? We should not join the liberals and immediately assume that the whites were the guilty party here. The only crime that we know of for certain in that earliest encounter with the New World was committed by Indians attacking the Spanish, and it was mass murder. The natives saw an opportunity to kill all the Spanish. Wouldn't that be considered genocide? And steal their possessions, and that's exactly what they did. When Columbus returned with a force of 1,200 men, some of the Indians were enslaved in retaliation for their massacre of the Spaniards. Columbus later discovered Cuba in his 1492 voyage, which became a Spanish colony and remained so until 1898. Columbus deserves to be remembered and honored for being the greatest explorer of all time and for beginning the European settlement of America that led to the creation of the United States. Important new crops like corn and potatoes were soon brought back to Europe. Christianity was introduced to the natives and human sacrifice was abolished. Present-day Indians enjoy the advantages of modern society, and many tribes have grown rich off of casinos. Columbus deserves to have a holiday in his honor. If some people complain that there are too many holidays, we should get rid of Martin Luther King Day. I think, Keith, as much as we can cover, that is a pretty good snapshot of why Columbus should be remembered, honored, why his holiday is both deserved and earned.
Well, your last comment really struck me, too. Think of how much more important the contributions to the world were as made by Christopher Columbus versus Martin Luther King Jr. What did Martin Luther King do? Did he spread civilization far and wide? No. Did he basically open up a whole new world of opportunity for millions of people to thrive? And basically it was the key to modern prosperity, basically making all of this fertile land in the new world available to Europeans so that they could bring the blessings of modernity to the entire world, not just to themselves, but to others. There, you know, for example, there wouldn't be any oil industry in Saudi Arabia had not Europeans come to America, developed the internal combustion engine, and found that petroleum products could be distilled and refined in such a way as to provide fuel for it. So the entire world has benefited from white people. And let's get back also to the idea that somehow something that you hear all the time from modern day Christians is that the white race doesn't exist, or that God doesn't recognize race. Well, if he doesn't recognize race, where did this quaint term God's chosen people come from? That's the most racial idea ever, right? And you could say that in terms of history, just the sweep of history, white people are God's chosen people. We were the people that preserved the Christian faith against the onslaught of Islam and other religions. We converted people to Christianity. If there is a non-white anywhere in the world that has a Christian faith, either they or their ancestors got that faith from a white Christian
missionary.
Well, and
let's not forget, while you're on the topic, that while the disciples were gearing up to take the gospel to Asia, God came to them in a dream and told them to take it to Europe, and that's where Christianity took root and where it spread throughout every corner of the world.
The alternative name for Europe during most of the two millennia since Christ's death was Christendom.
And Keith, how about this? You talked about the contrast between America after the fingerprints were left on this continent by Christopher Columbus. What did America look like in 1492? What did the lands in this hemisphere look like in 1492 compared to what they look like now? Now, they're, of course, in decline. Let's just say what they looked like in 1950. That was because of Columbus in many ways.
Basically, before the coming of the white man, which is what Christopher Columbus represents,
all right,
it was a big wildlife preserve populated by several hundred thousand Indians who are bloodthirsty savages.
And it would still look that way today had it not been for Columbus or people like him. How do we know that? Because they're still uncontacted tribes that live in 2017 as they did in 1492 and before. But look at this hemisphere now after contact by Europeans.
It's the industrial hub of the world. Look, during World War II and World War I, we were the industrial hub of the world. We were not only the breadbasket, we were also the forge and furnace of the world. We provided all of the manufactured goods as well as all of the food that without it, there's no way in the world, for example, England could have stood up and defeated Germany in either World War I or World War II had it not been for the amazing productivity of the white founded America.
That's certainly a fact. Unfortunately, we all lost that war. But the point is, exactly. World War 1A and B, as we sometimes call it. But my point was this: look at America post Columbus, and look at Detroit and Selma post Martin Luther King. Yeah, so
which person brought blessings and which person brought a curse to those locales?
Yeah, I was actually reading in my daughter's history book. She's in second grade now, and I was reading about the founding of Detroit. And I've actually learned a lot. It's actually fun to go back and reread elementary history as an adult.
It was a fort originally, wasn't it?
Exactly was. It was a trading post. Detroit was a trading post, and it was found by people from French. That was a French settlement originally.
De La Salle, I believe.
And, yeah, it was just, I'm sure it was better off back then. in the early 1700s.
Well, look, Indians have benefited greatly from the advent of white people. Rather than killing one another and living nasty, brutish, and short lives, as Hobbes said and as Blowtorch Mason quoted in his article, now they have first world amenities, they have oil wells, they have casinos, and they're basically wards of the state. They don't have to work. Everything is provided for them to sustain life if they want to, and many of them have become very wealthy because of oil and casinos.
Well, I take a trip down to Florida every summer and spend a little bit of time down there, and when you drive through the Everglades, you're driving through all of the swampland, and then out of nowhere, in the middle of nowhere, you'll see a casino that touches the sky that's run by the Miccosukee tribe and Seminoles. And so they at least got that. That's more than we're going to get once things go south, if things don't turn around.
Yeah, nobody has ever provided white people with
they only take.
Yeah, right. Who has provided us with all of the necessities of life, turnkey, no effort expended or necessary for us whatsoever?
All right. Listen, folks, honor Christopher Columbus and the great exploring nature of Western man on Monday. When we come back, we're going to Las Vegas, and we're going to stay there the rest of the night. Sean Bergen and Jim Lancia on deck. We'll be back.
Political cesspool is in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.